Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very hot subject that most are unwilling to talk about. So let me remind you, if you want to join in this dialogue and discussion, you can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you've got a different insight on this subject. Perhaps you've got a different slant or bent on the subject. Perhaps you have issues that you'd like to talk about. You can either agree or disagree with my position. My position is, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 12 and in verse 25, that a house divided cannot stand, a nation divided cannot stand. And what better way to divide a nation or a people than by dividing them based on ethnicity and skin color? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is white privilege? What is racism? Racism and white privilege synonymous, or is there a difference? What is the source of that? We were just before the news break talking about Michael Moore in his book, Killing Whitey, and he talks about that in the chapter. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad state of affairs academically when a university will use that as a textbook to teach courses on racism and trying to divide further the ethnicities in America today. I find it appalling that that's taking place and it's not being called racism in and of itself. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I can tuck in at this point for us to understand, and we'll get to a further understanding of the foundation and the fundamentals and the resource that causes this to be available in America today that's destroying our nation. A study from the University of Pennsylvania just discovered that racism in America has significantly decreased since President Trump was elected. And yet he's called a racist? The article says in a recent study from the University of Pennsylvania finds that racism in America has significantly decreased since President Donald J. Trump's election in 2016, directly contradicting the narrative pushed by many in the academics and the mainstream media and in the political personalities of the converse. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what's happening. Number one, it's a demonic source. Number two, it is a dreadfully dangerous source. Number three, it is a source that is coming out of the background of the fundamental basis of it is coming out of socialism, Marxism, and communism. And we'll look at that fact a little later in this broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that one of the things that we need to recognize is that racism is designed to divide and to tear down and to destroy. The truth is that Michael Moore is an insignificant nobody that wants to be recognized. So he screams racism and he wants to kill white people. And he's pushing that narrative in order to become significant and or to be quoted or looked at as being significant in society today. Colleges and universities are pushing the race card today in an attempt to divide America and destroy our heritage and undermine our foundation. One such professor suggests that we have, quote, that we need to set up an anti-racist amendment. We need to amend our Constitution. And we need another amendment, and that amendment would be an anti-racist amendment, and form a federal department of anti-racism, he says. I don't know how he thinks that can be accomplished, but let me just read you this article. Boise State rewards students for unpacking white identity, recognizing their privilege, this article says. Ladies and gentlemen, the Boise State Gender Equality Center and the Center for Teaching and Learning are hosting a book critic series, circle series, of a work by Robin DiAngelo titled, What Does It Mean to Be White? Developing the White Racial Literacy, and offering a reward to those who attend. DiAngelo has published two other books and with other topics. Bottom line is, in the former book, she wrote that white people raised in Western society are conditioned into a white supremacist worldview because it is the bedrock of our society and of our institutions. Ladies and gentlemen, this statement and this kind of book, again, as with Michael Moore's, is designed to divide America. It is designed to undermine our national security and ultimately destroy our society. That's what it's designed for. And it's coming out of these socialist Marxist professors in the places of so-called higher learning. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I've said to every parent, not only pull your child out of the public school, the governmentally controlled school from kindergarten through high school, but don't you dare put your son or daughter and pay the tuition to go to any of the so-called prestigious universities in America today, which are only brainwashing incubators to destroy the morals, the ethics, and the values, and to destroy anything that's called a consistency and a continuity of anything that's called Americanism in our nation today. This professor, though, another professor says, create an anti-racist amendment and Department of Anti-Racism. You heard me right. It's exactly what he's saying. American University professor Ibram Kendi, K-E-N-D-I, made the case for the creation of an anti-racist amendment, as well as a whole department dedicated to the anti-racist or anti-racism. Kendi serves as the director of American University's Anti-Racist Research and Policy Center. It's laughable, ladies and gentlemen. The Department of Anti-Racism, he says, would be empowered with disciplinary tools, end quote. Now, what does that mean, disciplinary tools? It means, ladies and gentlemen, if it is an amendment to the Constitution and it's an anti-racist amendment to be carried out, instituted, and controlled and enforced by the federal government, that is that he is suggesting the criminalization of speech. It is his suggestion to criminalize free speech, that if one says anything or does anything or embarks upon any maneuver or activity that is viewed by the onlooker, i.e. the watchdog of the federal government, to be racist, then you can be prosecuted for that. How do I know that's what he means? Because in the article it says this, the department, the DOA, would be responsible for pre-clearing all local, state, federal, public policies to ensure that they won't yield any racial equality, to monitor all of those policies, to investigate private racist policies when racial inequities surface, and monitor the public officials for expressions of any racist ideas. You hear that? And to monitor the public and officials for any expression of racist ideas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do you call that? In my book, I call that socialism. In my book, I call that dictatorism. In my book, I call it communism. In my book, I simply call it Marxism, because that's exactly what is taking place in America today. We're on the fast course, full forward, full steam ahead, to divide America, undermine America, destroy the fundamental foundation of our nation, and to do so by instituting some type of hate speech that will monitor every human being in America with what's being said. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in the nation of Canada today, they have hate speech? In Canada today, I would not be allowed to be on the radio or any television saying what I'm saying now. It will be considered hate speech. In Canada, a preacher cannot get on the radio and preach Romans chapter 1 in relationship to a sodomite lifestyle. In Canada, you cannot get on the public broadcast airways and talk about anything that is biblical, that says anything about the deeds of the Islamic jihadists or about anything about the LGBTQ, because it's considered hate speech in the state of nation of Canada. And if something like this could ever be possible, and I pray to God that it couldn't, the anti-racist amendment, they're passing laws now that are borderlining on the same thing. Nancy Pelosi and the socialist Marxist Democrats in Washington have already passed with a 240 vote House Bill 5. It's been sent over to the Senate. Thank God Mitch McConnell is not even putting it up for a discussion. It is Senate Bill 788 with 46 senators already signed on. It's called the Equality Act. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It might sound way out what this professor is talking about, with American University professor talking about creating an anti-racist amendment. It might sound far out, and it is. But it's just as far out to talk about the Equality Act that Nancy Pelosi and the liberals in Washington have passed, because the Equality Act would promulgate the LGBTQ, that is the sodomite agenda for America. It will promote and promulgate further rules and regulations to make it a hate speech if you say anything openly, publicly about it. It will make it hate speech if a church refuses to allow a pastor, preacher, teacher, leader that would be of a sodomite lifestyle to be in the pulpit or in leadership. It will make it hate speech and criminalize a church or religious organization if they require a biblical worldview for any of its employees. It will make it a felon for any church or religious organization to print, to publish, and to promulgate any literature that is against the LGBTQ agenda. It will cause conservative Christians, religious people, to have to go underground to become silent or be persecuted and prosecuted if that bill ever becomes law. And so what this professor is talking about on a so-called anti-racist amendment is to promulgate and to formulate some type of law in America that will make it illegal for a Christian or for a conservative to speak anything about truth, especially from a biblical worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, if this were to become a reality, what the professor is talking about and what Nancy Pelosi's House Bill 5 would cover, if that would ever become a reality, America would become the mirror of China, Cuba, North Korea, and all Islamic nations and communist dictators around the globe. Today, if a white politician or a public figure is in a debate or a discussion with a non-white, it doesn't make any difference what the subject is. If it's a non-white, if it is coming from any other part of the globe, Asian or Mideastern or otherwise, any non-white, and there is a disagreement on the subject, the white person is simply automatically considered a racist. Or if you are in open disagreement with Pocahontas Warren or with Spartacus that's running for president, if you are in open opposition to Hillary Clinton, you are simply misogynist, or you are prejudiced against women, or you are a bigot or a racist in some fashion. Today's white privilege, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than a mantra that's openly racist and against all white people. Now, I find it sad, especially if you have anything that's called a Christian, anything that is one that's blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, that will in some way refer to the term racist or racism, or say that you're white privileged. I believe that is absolutely a stench in the nostrils of God. It is the perception that if you're born white, you're automatically a racist. That's what we've come to in America. That if you're born white, you're automatically considered a racist, regardless of your upbringing, your background. I recall looking through family photographs of our family's background, and back when the folks in our community, the poor people in our community, called us poor because of our condition with finances. And it was not an unusual thing in our part of the world, in the deep South, as some refer to it. We lived next to those that were black-skinned. We went to school with them, thought nothing about it. They sat at our table, or we at theirs, and thought nothing about it. It is a shame today that we've allowed the mantras of the political elitists to try to destroy America with the term white privilege or racism or racist in any fashion. We ought, as Christians, we ought not to allow it. It ought not to be found any place in our vocabulary. But yet when we take a stand on truth, and that truth can be political, it can be societal, or it can be spiritual, and if we take a stand on that truth, then somehow, some way, we're considered misogynist or prejudiced against the one that we're speaking of, or that we're white privileged, or that we are simply racist. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that asks the question, why conservatives ignore white-hating policies? Why conservatives ignore white-hating policies or politics? This article says, it's not identity politics. It's anti-white politics. I question whether the term identity politics vaguely comports with our racial politics or terra firma. The answer was resounding no. For whatever is convulsing the country, it's not identity politics. Blacks are not being pitted against Hispanics. Hispanics are not pitted against Asians or Asian Americans or American Indians. aren't being pitted or urged to attack the groups just mentioned. Rather, they're all pitting on honky, this article says. Since the ire of Americans' multicultural multitudes is directed exclusively at whites and their punitive privilege, not at each other, anti-white animus is more appropriate term to be used. The identity politics term is an elaborate construct hot-housed in the postmodern universities, yet commentators, conservatives too, cleave to the abstract definitions developed by and those in the citadels of high learning, so-called. Dooley, the author of Why Identity Politics Kills Democracy, harps on the political selfishness that comes from a fanatical fetish of group identity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware of what's happening. It's a mantra that's designed to tear us apart as a nation. It's a mantra that's designed out of socialist, Marxist agenda and ideology. We'll talk about that in a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. Glad you called.
Yes, I have a quick comment that if you look at the Bible, I think God will be is really upset over this hate speech thing, laws and stuff, because it's divisive. It puts people over other people, over race, and over their hate. So if you go to like James 2:8-10, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, in other words, putting one person above another,
yes,
ye commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law yet offend one is guilty of everything. The second point is 1 John 3:15 to 16. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So these people, I fear are really in trouble being under God's judgment because they separate people and they hate people. And if you look at examples like in Numbers, where Moses and Aaron are complaining about Moses's, Aaron, it was complaining about Moses's Cushite wife, and they got, Miriam was sent out of the camp because of leprosy.
She got zapped with leprosy, didn't she?
Right. And then in the New Testament, of course, everybody knows about the Pharisee and the tax collector going to the church. And the tax collector beats his breast and says, Lord, forgive me. And the Pharisee is like a perfect example of what we're talking about. You know, he hates the group of sinners, so he praises himself. And God says, the tax collector who, you know, the person who was hated was the one that got saved, or however word you want to use. The other example is when you look at a Christian, Philemon, when he returned, slave returned, Paul told him, respect the slave as a brother. So there's no place in Christianity for hate speech or whatever. It's sort of like, you can't believe in abortion and be a Christian. You can't believe in hate speech, in my opinion, as described by these people, and be a Christian. And that's my comment for today, and I'll let you go.
Good. I appreciate that. It's very, very well stated and on target with what we're saying. In fact, when any individual denies the truth, they will believe a lie any time that it is given, whether it's in the political realm, the social, economic, or spiritual realm, they'll believe a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we want to understand today as we're talking about this subject, that most will not talk about, what is white privilege, what is racism. Racism and white privilege is a mantra that is a default when a person does not have the intellectual capability of discussing an issue. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, God created all men equal. God does not see skin color, he sees the heart. We find sinful hearts in all people. It's very, very clear in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the question of that is, you can't. It's a sinful heart. Ladies and gentlemen, what is not recognized and never discussed is the source of the race divide, the source of it. Where does it come from? The attempt to destroy America comes from the Marxist theology, the Marxist theory, the Marxist socialism ideology, which is nothing but communism. All are able to thrive and to control society by dividing into haves and have-nots. The socialist Marxist agenda is to divide the upper, divide between the upper class and the lower class, with both warring against the other, whether it be by identity politics or by that which is skin color, ethnically speaking. It is to divide and control and destroy. It is identity politics. It's straight out of the Marxist handbook. It's called critical race theory. And ladies and gentlemen, after this broadcast today, if you question what I'm saying, Google critical race theory. Google also with that the Southern Baptist Convention's recent adopting of the critical race theory in its last convention, where they now embrace the critical race theory. It is a sad, sad state of affairs, but it's very real. It's called the critical race theory. It is unfortunate, but true. The latest Southern Baptist Convention adopted the Marxist critical race theory as policy for the convention. So now the Marxist ideology will be used to erode and divide the Southern Baptist Convention. It is already eroding and dividing nationally, socially, and ethnically. It's dividing America today. Let me just read you, and I will take the time as necessary to try to get this point understood in the closing of this broadcast today. Here's a headliner: Southern Baptist Convention to officially affirm Marxist critical theory as viable. I'm going to read slowly. I'm not going to try to read the whole article. It's about 5 or 10 pages. I've got a whole fistful of articles, including their total resolution that they put into place in relationship to this Marxist theory, the critical race theory, which is Marxism. Marxism is socialism. Marxism, at the heart of it, is pure hardcore communism. This article says Southern Baptist Convention is gone. It's not at this point salvageable. It is time to start pleading with any church that remains in the convention to come out. This article was written shortly after the convention in June of this year. This week has been one of the most interesting of the Southern Baptist annual conventions ever. Every year, the convention proposes resolutions to repent of racism, and they always pass. This year, however, the convention took an unprecedented step in not only guilting every white member on the implicit racism term, but to affirm, listen, to affirm the Marxist ideology known as critical race theory, end quote. Critical race theory, known as CRT, emerged as an offshoot of the critical theory, a neo-Marxist philosophy that has its roots in the Frankfurt School, and its methods are known from Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud. The critical race theory teaches that institutional racism exists within every structure of society, and that these structures are intrinsically designed in such a manner as to protect and preserve white supremacy in our culture. Further, the critical race theory does not rely on factual statistics or objective evidence to support the theory at all. Rather, it relies on anecdotal evidence and personal experience. Concerns, the Capstone Report reports that concerns that J.D. Greer's appointment at 2019 Resolutions Committee would promote social justice were well-founded. By the way, J.D. Greer is the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention. J.D. Greer is a hyper-Calvinist. J.D. Greer said that churches now need to embrace the LGBTQ. He says that the LGBTQ sin is no different than gluttony, the sin of gluttony for the average person, so therefore we need to embrace it. And I'm finding now across the waves in America where there are religious institutions that are setting up seminars and symposiums to teach preachers how to embrace LGBTQ members and how to deal with them lovingly, the scripture, the seminars reportedly are going to do. But this article says, concerns that J.D. Greer's appointment at the 2019 Resolutions Committee would promote social justice were well-founded. The Resolutions Committee report offers a resolution that promotes intersectionality and critical race theory. According to Resolution 9, And ladies and gentlemen, I have Resolution 9 in my hand. I'll read a portion of it, and time will not allow the total resolution. But the point is the Resolution 9, and it's the resolution on critical race theory and intersectionality. Whereas, this is part of the mantra in the resolution, whereas critical race theory and intersectionality alone are insignificant to diagnose and redress the root cause of social ills that they identify, which results from sin. Yet these antithetical tools can aid in the evaluating of a variety of human experiences, end quote. And then the resolution states, be it resolved, the critical race theory and intersectionality should only be employed as analytical tools subordinate to the scripture, not as transcendent ideological framework, the resolution declares further. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to adopt a Marxist theory, how do you then say that we're going to use scripture also? A Marxist theory is antithetical to and fundamentally flawed if it is to be in any way to coincide with scripture. To add to this, the Southern Baptist Constitution was amended to enforce churches who are non-complicit in racial or sexual abuse issues, as these committees arbitrarily define them, will be excommunicated from fellowship in the convention. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at that entire resolution. It is a resolution that I'm saddened to say passed. It is a resolution that now puts the communist theory, the theory that is affirmed by Marxists called the critical race theory, it puts it in a position of being viable in the Southern Baptist Convention, to be in the handbook, if you will, for the leadership in the convention to make determinations and decisions whether a church is standing up to the qualifications of being in the convention. Ladies and gentlemen, when any convention, when any denomination strays from thus saith the word of God, to reach out especially and particularly to a Marxist critical theory, the critical race theory, that is communism, socialism, and Marxism, when they reach out and embrace that, the convention or that particular denomination is dead. It's an impossibility to come back from that. All we can do, ladies and gentlemen, is look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption goeth now. Keep on praying, keep on searching, keep on listening. Stay tuned for tomorrow as we once again face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.